Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey there, creepies. Welcome to episode 26. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, I see you laughing over there.
I'm about to choke on a mint over here.
Oh,
you're right. Is everybody ready? Nope, I'm not ready.
Nope,
I'm like either he's laughing, dying, or both.
I'll teach you to steal my mints.
Well, let's be honest. Like, some of our conversations in between these podcasts are classic. We really should record them.
Yeah, I should hit record.
You should totally hit. You probably did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, I was almost ready.
You're almost ready. Now you're ready, right?
I'm alive.
You're alive.
That's a start, right?
Yeah. Well, good.
Alive and kicking.
I was like, what is he laughing about?
It's like the chicken.
No.
Alive and chicken?
No, I was thinking the Beastie Boys. Kick it.
Kick it.
Kick it.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Nate, you doing all right, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm not choking on a mint.
Choking on a mint?
I'm not anymore.
Me either. Good.
and my mouth is minty fresh.
Minty fresh.
For who? I don't know.
Perfect for podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wintergreen.
Like, anybody cares, right?
I love wintergreen. I love that. That's a good, underrated.
It is underrated.
I don't know what that means.
I like it better than peppermint.
I do too. I like wintergreen Tic Tacs.
What have we done to this podcast?
Yes,
we don't talk about weather anymore. We don't talk about our families.
Hot.
We don't talk about chiropractors.
It's
we talk
hot.
About mints.
We had a monsoon earlier today. Flooded the church. Flooded schools around. Yeah,
it's so crazy.
There's the weather.
It's the weather apocalypse again. Yeah.
And it's going to continue to be
what's
hot
tomorrow?
The next week.
Hot.
Yeah. It's going to be hot for a while. No, I did learn something. I didn't say this in the last podcast. Maybe this is something everybody knows, but a heat wave is considered 90 plus with humidity for at least 3 days. I did not know that. And so we've had that and then some, and we're having that until at least Sunday. So this is a heat wave. Whatever you call it, it's GD hot.
It's hot.
Gosh darned is what I meant. Golly darn.
Yeah, golly darn.
Yeah.
My mom, I talked to her today, and she said it's supposed to be 95 next week, one of the days, 95 plus. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh.
I didn't see that.
Oh, man.
I saw it dropping back in the 80s next week.
That's what our top listener
I hope
said.
Not. I work outside. It's
from
not
now on. You're just hoping it's not.
From now on, our exclamation is going to be, gosh darn.
Gosh darn.
We need a little asterisk. That's what that means.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Are you looking up the weather now?
I am. I have to.
Oh, crap.
91, 90, 91, 90 in the next 4 days. So.
Wow. Feels like 190.
Well, 100. No, I think it stays 90 until Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Then it drops all the way down to 86.
Ooh, balmy.
What did Nate say, though?
Yes, sir.
We're going to blink and it's going to be snow. And you weren't
going to say that.
Don't stand for that, right?
I will not.
We're going to start a weather war.
I don't like it.
Weather war.
I mean, I love the fall. I like it getting cooler. I just don't like
We're going to go back
winter.
To the more acronyms. WW, weather war.
Oh, man. But here
not
we are.
Not werewolf, but weather war.
Yeah, that's right. We just had the discussion about the WW,
and we did.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was a good discussion. So now we are at episode 26.
We are.
Can you imagine that? I didn't think we'd ever ever. I didn't think we'd
ever
make it. I didn't think we'd ever make it.
Ever.
Holy We've cow, Nate! It. Should we just redo this whole intro? This is terrible. Sorry, guys. Gosh darn.
It's gonna be my favorite. No, I'm kidding.
It's always Sean's going to go, best one yet.
Best
it's great.
Gonna,
it's the best.
I'm going to text him to our board. Like, I've already listened to it. It's fantastic. I loved it.
Next week, I loved it. Next week when we record, that's going to be my next favorite.
Yeah.
Remember when Sean almost took down the whole podcast? Let's see. That was, 26? 26 is when that happened.
Oh, man.
Woo.
That's good stuff.
This is fun. I like it.
So, creepies, we have made it to number 26, we have a different type of topic.
Yeah, please don't give up on us at this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think. And
I think so.
I think most people will know what we are talking about.
We're going to talk about the BG. Not the BGs, but the BG.
Not doing the Gib.
Staying alive. Well, we better be staying alive.
Love the Bee Gees, man.
Winging a prayer.
Underrated.
It is. No, we're not doing the Bee Gees. We're doing Brothers Grimm.
Brothers Grimm.
Two M's, right? Oh, my gosh. Oh, the Brothers Grimm. Now, this isn't something that a lot of people know about. Now, there was a movie back in, 2014?
Something like that.
It was
Matt Damon.
Oh, no, it's not 2014. When was it? 2005. It was Heath Ledger and Matt Damon. I even have it here in my
notes. They played the Brothers Grimm, right?
They did.
Yeah. And I forgot that. So it was Heath Ledger was the other one? I knew Matt because I said
it was Matt Damon and Heath Ledger. Okay. And they said it really wasn't a good interpretation of the real Brothers Grimm because they made them out to be like swindlers and, shysters.
It was kind of its own interpretation.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe they were. We weren't back then.
Yeah.
But
it was good, though. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But this is a lot of the stories that we hear, the fairy tales, all the bedtime stories, a lot of the ones we hear come from these guys.
The classics.
The classics. We're going to talk about them. I'll give a little bit of, just a little bit of a historical background. That's for all our history lovers out there, right? And Todd is definitely one of those.
Did you say history?
I said history. You going to take a nap?
Yep.
Taking a nap for this one? Okay.
Nate, I'm just going to
night-night.
Go lay on your sofa.
Throw a sheet over him. He'll take a little night-night.
And that's a little shout-out to our friends at Believing the Bizarre.
Yes.
They had mentioned that when I was listening to their episode.
Tyler
about the
and
goat
Charlie,
man.
Yes.
And Charlie loves the history. Tyler's like, yeah, I'm going to take a nap.
They'll also like some of the acronyms that we have just gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more risque ones, right?
Ooh.
Okay.
Behave.
The Brothers Grimm. We're going into some German here. Jacob Ludwig Karl Grimm. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And Wilhelm. I love to say Wilhelm.
Oh, yeah. Wilhelm.
Karl Grimm. The brothers. So Jacob was the oldest, and he only by a year. I have to put in here with Wilhelm. So we have a son, William. Mm-hmm. And I always call him, when I'm trying to tease him, I call him William von Voot. And I tell him, I said, the more voots, the more important it is. So if it's a Wilhelm von Voot, he's really on my...
Triple voot.
He's on my he's on my good list, right? So anyway, Wilhelm Karl Grimm, Hessian academics, philologists. What's that? We'll tell you about that in just a minute. Cultural researcher, why are all these crazy words in here? Lexicographers and authors who together collected and published folklore during the 19th century. They were among the first and best known collectors of German and European folk tales and popularized traditional oral tale types, such as Cinderella, the Frog Prince, the Goose Girl, Hansel and Gretel, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, The Wolf and the Seven Young Goats. I don't even want to know on that one. Rumpelstiltskin.
I was like, what? Yeah, I saw it when I was doing research. But like,
I totally made that up. No, it's in there. I promise.
The one I see is The Wolf and the Seven Young Kids.
Kids are baby goats, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and the classic collection Children's and Household Tales was published in two volumes. The first one was in 1812 and the second was 1815. The brothers were born in the town of Hanau in Hesse-Kassel, which is now Germany, not too far from Frankfurt, and spent most of their childhood in nearby town of Stenau. Their father's death in 1796 impoverished the family and affected the brothers for many years. They attended the University of Marburg, where they began a lifelong dedication to research the early history of German language and literature, including German folktales. So that's where that, I gotta say it right, the philological interest. So that is like the study of languages and how they developed and evolved and some of the stories. So that the folktales, that's how that all kind of ties into their passion for that. So the history of the German language and literature, including German folktales, the rise of Romanticism during the 18th century had revived interest in traditional folk stories, which to the Grimms and their colleagues represented a pure form of national literature and culture. So they wanted to build on all these stories and get back that German heritage and all that good stuff. It was well before Hitler was trying to do all that stuff. The Brothers Grimm established a methodology for collecting and recording folk stories that became the basis for folklore studies. So they put together, it was upwards of, Oh, so from 1812 to 1857, they came up with and compiled 210 stories in all. That's a ton.
Yeah, it is.
And it said, the interesting thing is, as they started getting more and more popular and they did more and more versions, they would up the violence, down the sex, down the magic, and they just edited and deleted and changed stories as they wanted to as they went.
Yeah.
And it was somebody was pointing out that maybe they were the first original financial sellouts that are known in history, at least with all this, which is possible. I'm totally throwing out, you know, some conspiracy already. But they said as they became more and more famous, that they played to what everybody wanted.
Yeah. So,
little side note here.
Yeah.
I'm looking through.
I like side notes.
Some of this. I may be long distance related to him.
Are you kidding me? Is there a Laux in there?
No, Zimmer. That's my mom's name.
Oh, Zimmer.
Name.
Okay.
Yeah,
the German.
Yeah, they're saying blah, 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 blah. The Grimms. Tragic time for the Grimms because the family lost all financial support and relied on their aunt Henriette Zimmer and grandfather Johann Hermann Zimmer.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Could you know that?
That's
so you're looking,
not, but
so this is where you
could be though. Right?
This is where you're looking for some money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, what?
Help a brother out.
The Grimm estate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I was in the last will and testament of Wilhelm.
They call him the Grimmer Zimmer.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's funny.
This is what I put at the top here. Horrific themed fairy tale. Fairy tales. Some of them are horror tales, though. It says many of the Grimm's folk tales have enjoyed enduring popularity. The tales are available in more than 100 languages and have been adapted by filmmakers, including Walt Disney, you know, with the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella. So many of those. During the 1930s and 40s, the tales were used as propaganda by the Third Reich. I had to throw that in there. Later in the 20th century, psychologists such as Bruno Bettelheim reaffirmed the value of the work in spite of the cruelty and violence in the original versions of some of the tales, which the Grimms eventually had sanitized. So they went through and tried to kind of clean up some of this stuff. Because, to be fair, and I put this as a list, there are such things as incest, seduction, murder, rape, hidden bodies, necrophilia, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, bestiality, I won't even tell you right now. Mm-hmm. And some of those are just, those are some of your basic themes.
Yeah, they're pretty dark with a lot of their stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Incest was a very
and I've seen a...
that's disturbing.
There's two 80s yes. hairband names that are associated with them, too. The White Snake and Cinderella.
Yeah, that is very fair.
Yes.
Just random thoughts going through my head.
Yeah. I like both those groups, though.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Deep Thoughts by Nate Laux.
I like it.
Cinderella and White Snake, yes.
That's cool. That's funny. Yeah, these stories were not, like you just said, you went through the list of, it's like rated RRR.
Some of these. We're going to talk about some of these. This, oh my goodness sakes.
And I had no idea as a kid, you know, like you don't think about it. And
man, they wrote so many.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that. Yeah. I
we're going to read them all to you, right?
Page after page after page. And
it'll take me.
Holy cow.
Shoot.
A lot of these came from travelers, soldiers, tinkers, whatever they were, that as they came through, they had, you pointed at me? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
But I got something to say on that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. And so these travelers' tales, and they were called like the people's poetry, right? They were told orally. So a lot of these, you know, the Grimms went through and they traveled and they collected a lot of this kind of stuff or stuff that they'd heard. We won't name all the different people that they got it from, but there are certain players in their lives that would be able to tell them some of these stories. And like I said, at first they put out these horrific tales, and these tales weren't meant to be for children.
No,
these are not to be bedtime stories. These were actually rooted for middle to upper class and aristocratic females, technically. They told them to, you know, both males and females, but the really targeted audience was females. So they were sometimes they were meant to have like a moral lesson. Sometimes they were just to be entertaining or scandalous. And other times they were really just kind of It reflected the poor conditions of the time, so kind of a negative outlook on some of the aspects of life. And I put in quotes, "Life sucks and then you die" kind of stories. Yeah, you know what I mean?
True. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I think for a long time I thought they wrote most or all of the stories, but they actually just gathered them up,
compiling
from friends, people that they went around and got these stories from, these, you know, that had been passed down. And I thought that was interesting. I had no idea until recently.
Well, it's with their life when they're, like I said, the Wikipedia stuff, when their dad died, that really brought them, you know, they weren't super wealthy, but then they were even more, you know, poverty stricken with the father dying.
Oh, yeah.
And they ended up going through, they both studied law. Obviously Jacob went in first and became, you know, went into law, and they thought this was how they would be able to support themselves and find a better station in life. And then through their travels and through their law stuff, they went into German literature and their histories. And like I said, kind of the idea of the people's poetry, and they started this philological interest became deeper and deeper for them. And they were like, this is where our fame and notoriety could potentially come from.
Yeah. It grabbed them. I mean, it became their, I don't want to say just hobby, but that's kind of switched gears on them. They, you know, probably didn't yet. They had no idea going into it.
Well, and it's interesting because like
the
idea,
passion or love, I don't know.
We've talked about this in other podcasts of the need for storytelling. And it's as old as anything else in history is the ability to tell stories. And one of the oldest stories is spooky, the scary, the storyline that is, what goes bump in the night that you tell around a campfire. And that's what a lot of these stories are. And typically they have a reason. They're trying to get you to be safe or to be moral or to kind of guide your behavior throughout the ages. And that's what a lot of this is. And the other thing is there's an imagination there. There's a lot of imagination in these stories. And in our modern day, and a lot of these things have been cleaned up a lot for us, obviously. So it's kind of shocking to hear what the real stories were. But there's a need for an imagination. I have a term that's called imagination atrophy. A lot of times as we get older, we start losing that imagination. Mm-hmm. And so in this storytelling, it is good for our soul, I think, to have that imagination. And it allows us to be fulfilled, allows us to have an escape. So those fantasies or fairy tales, it allows us to be in different worlds. And that's what we can see in our modern era with the stories and the books and, you know, all the movies and the different things that we watch now. A lot of it's fantasy based, you know. And it does. It kind of sparks from this. There's the dark side and that old ancient way to tell stories. And that's what the Brothers Grimm really tapped into. And it wasn't always a happy ending. You know, Disney got a hold of it, thank God, to some of these. And he really turned it into, you know, happy endings and funny, you know, like the whole idea of the comedian or the comic part of Cinderella trying to make sure that you can find the right woman or the girl that could fit in the glass slippers and couldn't find that.
It's the,
couldn't
the
get that right.
Happily ever after and everything, you know.
The rainbows and sunshine and the birds singing and chirping.
Always works out.
Yeah. Now, and one of my favorite stories is Rumpelstiltskins. Disney has not tried their hand at that, as far as I know. That's sort of a dark story altogether.
Would you like to regale us with it?
What, the old movie, horror movie?
No,
I'm not going there. Although it was funny. No, I mean, that one is like...
You like that one?
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about, you know, the king locks his daughter up in the dungeon and said, you know, you need to weave that straw into gold, which can't be done.
But she said she could, right?
But then this little impish troll-looking little thing, Rumpelstiltskin, comes out and does it for her because he's magical. But in return, he has to give her... Or she has to give him her firstborn child.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets really crazy after that.
Well, and the funny thing about Rumpelstiltskin is, he says, if you can guess my name
in 3 days. Yeah, if you can guess my name.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
I knew there was something else to
say. Yeah. I knew there was some catch. I couldn't remember what it was.
And she's given his name. And he doesn't realize it. So she's able to, you know, kind of thwart him. But in the actual original story... You know, he kind of like gets mad and, you know, leaves, you know, the story we know. But in the actual story, he rips himself in two. He's so angry, he rips himself in two. And they say that he specifically stomps his foot so hard down into the ground that he gets his leg or part of his body stuck. And so when he's trying to pull it out, it makes him ripping too.
Yeah.
So that's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
You know, but
and
so
I've always liked that story.
Oh, it's a great story.
Yeah.
It is. It's a story of there's trickery in it. There's definitely, you know, holding somebody hostage kind of idea.
Yeah.
Or, you mm-hmm. know, holding something over them. And then, you know,
then you best them.
You do. Yep. Outfox yeah. the fox.
Trick
kind of idea.
Yeah.
But the whole him ripping, I don't know why we can't know that part of the story, because that's a great part of the story that he got so mad he ripped himself.
I don't think I even knew that.
Yeah.
About the,
yeah I didn't either, until I, either. Did, yeah. until I did this research. I honestly didn't know that either.
That would be a heck of a scene and oh, they, if they made a movie. Oh, if, they, yeah. if they actually did it the way it's originally written, like, whoa. Okay.
It'd be sort of like Evil Dead-ish.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very graphic and is that, over the top.
Yeah. No, I remember as a kid all the famous ones, you know, and Rumpelstiltskin. That was one I remember. My mom would read all these stories to me, and I just your mind as a little kid
yeah.
trying to envision
really
this.
Engages your imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what all these are fun. And we could talk about our favorite ones. Like I said, my one of my favorite ones is Hansel and Gretel.
That
one gives me the creeps.
And I've seen and they've made a lot of adaptations, mm-hmm. movies and mm-hmm. shows, and
Kid
I love
Pies.
It. Yeah, that one's
I don't
creepy.
Think they had to change that one too much.
No, they didn't. No,
they pretty much stuck to the story.
Yeah, that one's pretty much the story. You know, and some of them are more dark. I mean, like real dark. You know, depends. But yeah, mm-hmm. I always like the Hansel and Gretel story. And,
yeah, that one's good too.
Yep. What about you, Sean? Any right off the bat that you can go?
They most
to grab you. Or
the
thought?
Most disturbing one is Snow White. Okay, in my opinion, like if you really want to look at disturbing, mm-hmm. There's a ton of them on it. And Cinderella is like they say Cinderella. There's Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Is,
Cinderella.
Cinderella. Cinderella. Now Cinderella did have her birds, right? And she was Cinderella. Her actual name is Ella, right? So she was the Cinders. She was Ella of the Cinders, you know, and all this because she was so dirty and all that stuff. But she at the end. Her birds, you know, because in Disney that, you know, they forgive the stepsisters and Cinderella goes off to live this beautiful life and they have to just kind of, you know, watch her go on. And but they're remorseful for what they did. In their true story at the wedding, the birds peck out each of the stepsisters' eye. And then after the wedding, they peck out the other eye. So there's no like forgiveness.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And the stepmother, they said a lot of these stories originally were mothers and then the brothers Grimm changed them to stepmothers. Like stepmothers seemed a little bit more like distant, you know, and you could hate.
They don't truly love you. And
they're just coming in to be, you know, dictators. And,
Right.
And
so
more hateful than just your mom.
But I thought that was interesting mom. That they did a lot of that. And then Snow White, there were the seven dwarves, but when she died, she ate the poison apple. Cause I think there were three different ways. It was the apple was like the third way that she tried to get her to do that. There were different ways that she was trying to kill Snow White and the apple was what worked. And so she's dead in this glass coffin. Right. And so mm-hmm. the dwarfs are mourning her and the prince comes along and, he wants to buy her. So he offers them money and they say no. And this is the original. And so, he's like, okay, well, how about if I just take her because I, you know, and to revere her and they're like, oh, okay, that's fine then. So, I mean, you're talking about like a dead body, you know, that, right. And so it's just weird. That's like, to me, that's like a necrophilia. The Sleeping Beauty is the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
Like he's kissing on a dead body to bring it back to, and it does bring it back to life, but it's like, that's kind of gross. You know, what do you want to do? What are you buying that body for? And what do you want to take that body for? So
the whole kit, like that doesn't creep me out, but just taking the body does.
Yeah. So we don't think about that. We just think about, you know, that's not,
we think Disney about the result or the ending.
Disney
the,
lightens that up a bit so that you're not really thinking like that. But if you're, but if you really are
thinking.
I
mean, seriously though, did you ever think, well, why is he kissing a dead body? That's gross. No, we didn't think that.
Kind of gross.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
In the Disney movie, worked. They're you know, she's pale and then she comes back to life and comes back.
Good, yeah. That's what, yeah.
I know.
You sort of get the real life taste of it, that TV show, The Grimm.
Uh-huh, right, yeah, yes.
That went into a lot of these stories.
Yes,
and, like,
it did.
Did, like, the scary, darker side of everything. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty good takes on a lot of the stuff.
I walked with you once upon a dream.
Are you talking about the series?
Yeah.
Grimm?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grimm.
My wife, we watched every episode. We couldn't wait. And when it ended, I was like, oh, man. We've been watching this for 7 years, man. Yeah. Like 6, 7 years. Yeah, loved it.
Mm-hmm. There was another one. Did you guys ever, back in 87, there was a stage performance, but it was recorded live on PBS, and it's Into the Woods. Did you guys ever watch that? as a kid, it freaked me out.
I did not, but I know they made the movie recently. I mean,
Into the Whale. Yeah. That's the one that was in 2014. I was talking about.
Yeah.
I never. I honestly.
The kids
like
that
seen
one.
That.
I've seen that was parts of it.
Yeah, they say it kind of like Disney-fied or whatever. But in 87, it was really good, but it really creeped me out because it took a lot of the old, you know, Little Red Riding Hood and Hansel and Gretel, and they put them all together. Because the idea is that woods were seen in a lot of these forests, and woods were seen as evil places. So a lot of these stories, when they go into the woods, is more of an evil place. So that whole idea is really cool. And they said that a very famous actress came out. She was getting ready to retire or came out of retirement just enough to take the Bernadette Peters played the witch. And they said she did amazing. Yeah, she made an amazing witch in that stage performance. It's really good. You should go back and watch it because what sticks in my mind from that is when the Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf eats her. And so he's got her in his stomach and he lays down to take a nap and they actually find him, cut him open. She gets out. I remember all this. I was like, this is disturbing. Then they fill him full of rocks. So he thinks he still ate her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is all PBS. This is ate up. But I do, like I said, it stuck with me as a kid, but it was an interesting telling of all of these and kind of, slicing and dicing a lot of these fairy tales and putting them together. But it was, like I said, in its own way, in my opinion, it's pretty creepy.
Where does Shrek come into all this?
Where does Shrek? Exactly. Oh, you know, I didn't write that down, but that is a really good point.
Donkey. Hey, Shrek. Oh man, that's I forgot
about that. Love Shrek. Those are great. Donkey. Movies. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
You got all fairy the tales. Yeah. Gosh, I mean, from Pinocchio to
And I'm going to say
I think Hansel and Gretel's in that too.
Yeah. Right?
Donkey, where are you going?
Red Riding Hood.
I've got to. I'm going to save my own ass. What does he say? I'm saving my ass.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, I love the play. And kids don't. You know, it's got great adult humor.
Oh, it does. It's perfect.
But all the Gingerbread Man. You know, he was. They got all those characters. That's what's fun. The Three Little Pigs, the Blind Mice. They're.
That's so funny.
Oh yeah.
Very very clever how they interacted all those characters.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a lot of the movies today that they made, and like I said, with the Disney and everything, they're just refined versions of those old tales.
And butter them up.
They do. They have the heroes, they have the heroines, they have the villains, the life and death. It's interesting, though, but the Brothers Grimm back in their history, they de-emphasized any female characters a lot of times, or at least made them the ones that were struggling and you know, kind of the mess of the story. And they focused more on the males as the heroes. And I think I also talked about the... you know, how they really de-emphasize mothers as being the bad characters, but and putting stepmothers in there. So I thought that was really interesting.
Now, I found Into the Woods 1991 musical with Bernadette Peters, but is it?
I think. Well, when I said
did they do a movie and then maybe a musical?
It was a live. The one in 87 was a live performance. So I don't know if they went and did. Is that what you're saying? Did you say it was live?
Yeah, it says Into the Woods 1991 musical.
Interesting. Yeah,
Bernadette Peters.
Here,
because I typed 1987, but I couldn't find.
I don't know
the
then.
Same, but I thought maybe they. I don't know, like maybe one was live, maybe one was a movie, or
and
I
cleaned
I
it
was
up
writing
and
that. I got
did
that.
A better film rendition of it.
Yeah, this shows on Wikipedia. It says 1987, November 5th, 1987. Because I remember being a little kid, and I was. It's in 1987.
Well, that.
So there is
I don't.
Isn't that interesting?
Or maybe they released it in 91.
So it says 86 in San Diego. So these are productions. It was Broadway in 87. 88 was
World
Tour.
Yeah, okay, now I do see 87 now. But why? I wonder why.
I don't know. But yeah, that's when I remember. I remember late 80s is what, and I was a little kid. And that would have been right.
Well, so. I'll say I don't remember either one.
I don't know.
Remember. 87 or 91?
I have to there check was a it out, though.
1990 West End production is what you're talking about. So I don't know. Yeah, there's a ton of them, but
it,
like
maybe
said,
it was taken off of the 87.
It was like a Broadway. Yeah,
that could be too. But yeah,
we're getting old, is what we're getting. And I don't even know. But those things stick in my head.
I wonder when Brothers Grimm when they were listening when the Grimm whatever Brothers Grimm Grimm Brothers they're gathering all these stories. I wonder what their response was, or as they're listening and then they're writing them down, like what their take was when these people are telling them, and then they're gathering all these stories and like, oh my god,
that would have been awesome.
Look what we have. I mean, I think that'd be, yeah.
Well,
who doesn't like you said, who doesn't like stories? And it's
These guys
storytelling is awesome.
These guys were very connected in life, and then they were buried side by side. So you know they were very close. Okay, I didn't see so that. This was and this to them was an endeavor that obviously lasted, you know, a good part of their life. And I'm
like
sure
40 years, something like that.
You know, if they were still around, or we could tell, you know, they'd be, I think, pretty proud that they were part of this foundation of so much storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's. No,
I agree.
I think it's actually really neat.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, gosh, yeah, you know, almost a couple hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, yeah, almost. I think as a kid, I remember growing up, I had a book, and it had all those stories together. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. from you know, the Mother Goose to, you know, all these, yeah. And I've always been fascinated with story or fairy tales, and like I said, you listen to it. My mom would read it, or I'd read it with my mom as a kid, and my imagination just. Trying to picture these characters, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so our kids growing up, yeah, we'd read them, or now, you know, now they're making movies and great special effects, but it's something definitely I can think of going back to my childhood, all these, you
did
know.
Did you either of you ever say how many stories all together?
210.
Okay. Something, yeah.
The one place
I didn't catch that.
More than two, over 200, and then
yeah, this one's saying some 200 stories or whatever.
Yeah, I was listening to a lady that said she had quoted as 210.
210?
Yeah.
That is insane.
She was like,
that's a lot of stories.
That yeah. is a lot of stories.
You know, and I don't know. Like I said, I before I even came over here to start recording, even the first episode we did, it was just because I was doing research a few days ago, and I'm like, okay, I honestly thought they wrote most of them.
I thought they're author, you know, of the stories.
Yeah, or at least like the, yeah.
Not compilers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I mean, it didn't diminish anything. I'm like, well, gosh, well, what's the big deal? I mean, it's still kind of cool that they gathered them and did something with these stories. Yeah. So we could be.
They did the research and the hard work of
but I getting thought it all they together. Came, I just thought, I thought they came up with the ideas in the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, yeah, so that was a big learning point for myself that they did not actually, they are not the authors of them. At least coming up with the stories. Yeah. And I was sitting at the table, the counter, and I kind of mentioned it to my wife. So I don't know. It was kind of crazy. She's trying to get the kids out the door. So, you know, practice and all kinds of stuff. And so I don't know if she knew that. I'll have to, you know, my wife's big into literature and she grew up the same, but like we did. I mean, grew up with these stories. And so I wonder if she knew. I'll have to.
I like some of these. It says, you can keep your haunted mansions, bloody pickaxes, and phone calls coming from inside the house. When I look for creepy reading, I turn to the originals. So, the Grimm's Brothers. It's true that picking messed up moments from among the Grimm's fairy tales is like shooting golden geese in a barrel, but some stand out among the routinely bloody brethren, adding cannibalism, filicide, and dismemberment to the usual stew of lies. Misanthropy and murder. Here are four of the most dark tales. And these are ones that a lot of times you don't hear about. So Bluebeard is one. One example is when you go to prove the Disney's only ever telling half the story. The rich nobleman of the title had got girl problems. Namely, his pretty young wife keeps dying on him. But as long as there are rich lords, there'll be dads looking to give them their daughters. And in this tale, Bluebeard's has taken yet another wife. Soon after their wedding, he goes away, leaves her with a ring of keys, instructions to use all of them, but the littlest, or sorry, to use all but the littlest of them, which locks the door to a room she must never enter. Of course, she enters the room, and it's filled with the remains of all his murdered wives. The little key becomes covered in unremovable blood, tipping Bluebeard off to her transgression. She's saved at the last minute from joining his wives by leaping lizards. A room full of murdered women. Even a wisecracking animal sidekick couldn't lighten the mood in this one. Ha ha, don't care, right?
Right.
So there's one called The Girl Without Hands, and it's a disturbing one. So there's The Robber's Bridegroom. And the juniper tree. I wanted to read the juniper tree one. You remember that one? Have you heard that?
No.
That one I have heard of.
I'm looking through a list of their books stuff. The Elves and the Shoemaker.
Oh.
I forgot about that one.
So the juniper tree is, you two aren't having any. I've got a feeling that this is all for me. That this one's a very disturbing one. This is one I definitely wanted to get to. Thus spake a father in the process of eating his son. Let's get back up. This gorgeous fairy tale, grand Gignol opens on a rich man's wife and her longing for a child. When she finally gives birth to a son, she dies of joy, and soon after, her husband takes a second wife. In the classic stepmother tradition, she violently is jealous of the boy, finally chopping off his head in a moment of madness. Mm. She covers up her crime by serving him in a stew, after which his half-sister buries his bones under the same juniper tree that covers his birth mother's remains. He's transformed into a vengeful little bird whose song drives his stepmother to the brink of insanity right before he drops a millstone on her head. By fairy tale's logic, her death leads to his resurrection. No hard feeling.
Ugh. Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Reading through all these titles, some of them I completely forgot about, you know, The Fisherman and His Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good story. The Golden Goose.
Yes.
Yeah, just
The so Death many. Of the Little Hen. Oh, my God. There's just so many good ones on here.
Uh-huh.
So this, yeah, The Strange Feast is a good one. The title, The Strange Feast, describes the story well as it is an odd little tale that may leave you scratching your head. There are two sausages, one blood and one liver. Who are friends? The blood sausage invites the little sausage over for dinner, but when the liver sausage arrives, she gets an uneasy feeling when she sees some disturbing sights, a broom and shovel fighting and a monkey with an injury. She hears a voice telling to leave quickly, and so she goes. When she turns around, she sees the blood sausage with the sharp knife yelling, "If I had caught you, I would have had you." It's a very strange tale indeed. So that's what some of these are, you know, talking about how, you know, there's a moral to the story.
Yeah.
And sometimes there is, you know, just trying to get people to, you know, fix their behaviors in a certain way. And other times it's just like, just disturbing.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what
I saw, you know, a sentence earlier thumbing through some mm-hmm. of the stuff of, how some of their stories were grim. Some of them were gruesome and some were strange. Some had no point. And then some were like life.
Lessons.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. I completely blanked on that one. Life something.
Life something.
No, I don't know.
Hey, Sammy. Sammy's got a story.
Sam's got...
Oh, he's full of stories.
He's full of something. But he loves it.
He does.
The devil.
Devil inside.
Look, he's looking at me like...
Devil inside.
You know, you want some of this? Yeah, I was looking at like stories too, or the, you know, the list. I'm like, wow.
I know you forget about all of them, you know. There's so many.
Yeah, and then you know, of course, I didn't know a lot of these, and I just read the titles, and I'm like, wow, wonder what that's about, or just crazy titles. The three languages, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Godfather Death. There was one I saw. Oh, where is it at? I thought it was interesting. Oh, yeah, there's the White Snake. Yep.
Yeah, White Snake.
The Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Yeah. That's another favorite one. Yeah. I love that. And that one has a little bit of a true
tale to it.
True-ish, yeah.
Sinister grim tale may be based on true events. A glass window in a church of Hamelin depicts a Pied Piper and has an inscription that states, "In 1284, mm-hmm. by a piper clothed in many kinds of colors, 130 children born in Hamelin were seduced and lost at the place of execution near the Schoppen." What is the Schoppen? Even today, no one is sure why the children were taken away or what exactly happened that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a creepy one.
It is creepy. Mm-hmm. And that one's I just learned, you know, recently.
Yeah.
That it was a true place and a true happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
There are some, like I said, we could, we want you to not just tell you all these stories and sit here and read them to you verbatim, but like go look into these. There's some mm-hmm. of these, this one's a good one. Death's Messenger. Some grim fables are just too dark to be made into Disney classics. Death's Messenger tells a story of Death, who appears as a person and is nursed back to life by a healthy man. Death promises to spare no one, but tells his savior that he will give him a heads up before his final hour. Needless to say, death works in mysterious ways, and the youth doesn't quite get back what he bargained for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know this is probably poor to listen. I'm just looking at the different ones. Hans my Hedgehog. I'm just reading. Okay, what is about, you know.
This was big stuff back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think a lot of these stories were, they are inspiration for a lot of modern things that are out there.
The Frog Prince, so the Princess and the Frog is what we know now, but it was the Frog Prince originally. Mm-hmm. Girl meets frog, girl kisses frog, girl gets frog turned prince. We all know that famous amphibious story by the Brothers Grimm, but many do not know it goes by the title Iron Heinrich. First published in their 1812 edition of Tales. This was the first work in their collection. And in that story, to get the frog to turn into a prince, he was thrown against the wall.
Yeah.
And so it was like very, it was like splat. Oh, there he goes. Instead of kissing, it was throwing up against the wall. So
it was like, a lot. Yeah.
So that's great.
I think that's the most crazy about it is just the real story and then how they got cleaned it up.
And screwed them.
And even the cleaned up versions are spooked or creepy.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
To a certain extent. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, or a little disturbing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't. This Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, German scholar Eckhart Sander revealed the story of the fair princess poisoned by her stepmother may have been based on a true story of Marguerite von Waldeck, a German countess born to Philip. You stop it over there. Philip the Fourth, in 1533. She fell in love with a Spanish prince whom her parents disapproved of, then died at the age of 21 under mysterious circumstances. A poison apple, perhaps?
Oh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Had you heard of here's one, The Devil and His Grandmother. The Devil and His Grandmother. Not wow. The Devil and the Grandmother. Mm-hmm. His Grandmother. Like, what? Kind of, yeah. Collected by the Brothers Grimm. I might have to do a poll. I've been doing my polls on Facebook. I wonder what, listeners and social media followers, which ones they liked growing up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which, take your favorite one and then read what it originally was.
Yeah.
Just to creep yourself.
It's a whole different spin.
Yeah.
I'm just, it does. It just, I think an interesting thing is that this was in the 1900s. All of the Grimm's stories compiled. So this is the 20th century. It was the best-selling book of all time, second to the Bible, was the Grimm's story of fairy tales.
Really? I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I wrote that down.
I believe that.
Yeah.
These stories have been around
for
a long time.
Yeah.
Everybody knows them.
Right.
So can you imagine? Like, I don't
still,
know,
though, it's kind of weird.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's not that many people ago.
No.
So, and like I said, their basis was, I mean, at first anyway, was to make sure that the German roots and ancestry and history and the folklore and all that storytelling, it just all congealed to help carry forth, you know, what they were built on. So it's kind of, it's neat in its own way, but like I said, it's also, there's this beauty to it and there's this disturbing nature
behind
a lot of these stories.
Yeah. Very dark. Yeah. You know, some of these stories, if you made a movie and you went straight down line from what the original story is, and you made it with today's special effects, and you didn't deviate from how it was originally written.
Mm-hmm.
Some heck of some horror story or
right.
horror films.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whoa! You know,
it said when it was first published,
overwhelming.
1812, the first publishing, and it was called. I said this earlier: Children's and Households, Children's and Household Tales is what it was called. And it was not an instant hit in its day. So that first publication, but they said like after the several publications, I think by, was it 1819, that's what really kind of took hold, that version. And like I said, it kind of, they up the violence, they decrease the sex, and they decrease like that, the magical, mystical part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what started to take hold and sell.
Oh yeah. And that conjures the imagination, that magical part of it.
There was one with,
as a kid,
Rapunzel, throw down your hair.
They said that's another
one. At first, the whole idea was that they made references to her clothes getting tighter and tighter. So the idea is that she'd been impregnated. And they said they started kind of like dancing around that. But there were like, she would say to the witch that held her captive, how come the prince is so much quicker getting up the tower than you are? You know, you're able to, you climb a lot slower. So it was just those like inferences of what's going on there.
Yeah.
But again, you watch, Tangled. That's not that is the one. Yeah, nowhere near.
Yeah, we like Tangled in our household.
I do too. And now, but again, you're not going to look at it the same.
No.
Yeah.
And listeners, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Man, yeah, that's a totally different.
Here come the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah.
And they were aptly named. You know, like Grimm is, you know, like, it's the just kind of the darker side, a little more morose.
Oh, yeah.
And they were.
No doubt. Ooh. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I like all, I mean, you know, the. I mean, there's. I mean, I probably only know the main ones, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's everybody else knows. But
I wanted to give everybody a little taste of some of these other ones. There was another one. It's called The Elves and the Shoemaker. In this tale, a struggling elderly cobbler is mysteriously aided by magical elves. We've heard this story in different variations. Originally titled, now I'm going to say this, by gosh, Die Wichtelmann Mein. I don't know how to say this. This tale
Sorry, Germany.
I know. Sorry, Germany. Yeah, this is where they didn't stay very long. This tale has made numerous appearances in contemporary pop culture. Mm. In the Harry Potter series, for example, house elves like Dobby, pictured up here in this picture that I'm looking at, look after human wizards and are never seen again once given clothing, just as in the Grimm story.
It's kind of like the... you know, the stories people tell, like moms. That's my another.
What is it?
Drink
more noise.
We had. I wonder if that will come through.
We had mysterious noises.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. I bet that'll come through. We had mysterious noises in the last podcast.
I haven't done
and they
in
were
a
found out to be you. You were the perpetrator.
For what now? What were you saying over there?
It was the vent. Remember the vent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The vent did it.
Or maybe it wasn't.
It was a vendetta.
Maybe it was Slender Man behind.
Ooh, it could have been.
You know, it's like the stories that, you know, are about the creatures and, you know, they make up don't go out in the woods. Don't, you know, get home by a certain time, you know, scaring the kids into behaving,
right? Yeah.
You know, or making sure they're safe. You know, there's a good purpose for it to scare them into making sure they, you know, they come home when they're supposed to or not venture out or to don't do that. You know, it's kind of like, the boogeyman, you know, that was to... behave, you know, good. It's kind of like these, you know, they're just told, yeah, for purposes, whatever. I've always liked that, you know, finding out what the reason or what the purpose was for telling these stories. And I don't know. And can you imagine like telling the story and you're like, hey, I told that one, you know, just very interesting. I like it.
I think it's
any more that you guys grab your attention.
There are only 200 more.
No, yeah. How much time do we have?
I just love the hare and the hedgehog. I just think that's funny. I don't know
some of the titles. Yeah, the titles of them are pretty amazing, honestly.
The boots of buffalo leather.
This one, the wishing table, the golden ass, and the crudgel in the sack.
Mm.
Shoo. I can't even fathom what that one's about.
there's the crumbs on the table. I don't know. And some of these maybe people are like, oh yeah, I've heard of that one. And there's just something I have not.
And quite frankly, I mean, some of these stories we probably have heard or know about. We just don't know
the title.
This is the title of it.
Yeah.
You know?
There's the peasant and the devil. Seems like there's a lot of, you know, the devil is used in a lot of these stories.
Yeah.
You know, that type of creature, entity, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought the devil went down to Georgia.
The devil's sooty brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The sea hare. Oh, okay. the ear of corn. Now, that one's... wait a minute. That one's from Indiana. No.
The old woman in the wood.
Yeah, there's all... Anytime you get a story with woods in it, you know, or an old woman... Then you combine the old woman and the woods. Then
exactly. Hey,
there you go.
Perfect combination.
The donkey.
Is that it?
Yeah.
The donkey.
The donkey.
Now we know where the Shrek. You asked where the Shrek came into it.
Donkey.
I think it's interesting that the stair step from Disney is, and I mentioned this in the last podcast, is Charles Perrault, and he's the French aristocrat that he went into making things a little more soft and comedic and all that kind of stuff. And he took, you know, Cinderella and some of these other stories and made them, you know, helped kind of pass that on to, so we go from Grimm to Charles Perrault and then kind of hand it off to Disney, like, I don't think we're going to go with the Brothers Grimm version. We're going to go with
the fluffier side.
Yeah. So that's kind of how, you know.
Safer side.
Yeah, exactly. And you could sell more tickets for G and PG audiences, right? That way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's like you said, they weren't made for kids.
Come see the softer side of Grimm.
For kids.
Exactly.
The original. And then you have to. Yeah, and you know, you're going to make money off of the with kids. I mean, making it kid friendly, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
Bigger demographic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bigger audience, bigger. Yep. So financially a smart move.
Yeah,
you know, if you can appease to the kids, you know. And like I said, it's still, if you watch, you know, I mean all the cartoons we grew up with, you know, the Tom and Jerry's and the all the Looney Tunes type, you know, the violence and all. As a kid, I was watching it, you know, Yosemite Sam shooting at, you know, all the different, whether it's guns or the violence and or the smoking cigarettes, you know. Yeah. I never looked at it like, oh, that's not you know, that's violent or not. I mean, but now as an adult, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't look at it that way. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it's, you know.
Well, it was the norm, so you didn't really think nothing of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's just, I don't know. It's funny how you look at it through a kid's when you're, and then now you're an adult, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What you got over there?
They're talking about some of the way that they wrote. So it says from 1807 onward, the brothers added to the collection. Jacob established the framework maintained through many iterations from 1815 until his death. Wilhelm assumed sole responsibility for editing and rewriting the tales. He made the tales stylistically similar, adding dialogue, removed pieces that might detract from a rustic tone, improved the plots, and incorporated psychological motifs. Ronald Murphy writes in The Owl, The Raven, and The Dove that the brothers, and in particular Wilhelm, also added religious and spiritual motifs to the tales. He believes that Wilhelm gleaned bits from old Germanic faiths, Norse mythology, Roman and Greek mythology, and biblical stories that he reshaped.
Mm.
So that's kind of interesting. They also, before they both died before they could finish it, but they were working on a dictionary together. I don't know. I am looking at that. And I think they made it to L is what they made it to. So they never did get to complete that together. That was one of their
says
works.
They also worked on compiling an ambitious German dictionary, although both brothers died before they were able to finish the entry for the letter F.
Oh, was it F then? Oh gosh.
I couldn't remember.
That is,
there's my memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. They says they wrote books about mythology and published scholarly works on, I think it was, that's cool. I was just looking right when you said that. And of course they said, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales was a publishing blockbuster. That's what they call it. Yeah. That would have been huge. Yeah. Yeah. Literally a blockbuster. Now this says 211 stories. That's what I'm looking at, but
they say the original Cinderella was, it was like we're talking about incest and all that kind of stuff, but the king, why, you know, he had his wife and she was like the perfect, you know, woman for him. She dies and she says, you know, basically go off and marry the perfect woman, you know, find the perfect woman again. Well, it didn't, down the road, it ended up being the daughter. And so it goes into the whole story, but she ends up like disguising herself in all these like layers of fur and she's clean, you know, she's cleaning and doing the whole Cinderella thing. And then she comes to all these balls that he has, you know, and comes and dances with them and all the, it's just, it gets really weird, but that's the original story. And it's just like, you know, she finally reveals herself by throwing off these furs and revealing herself as who he danced with and all these balls. And, but it's just like, dude, that's your daughter, you know,
that's, come on, man. Yeah. A little disturbing.
Well, that's why we brought them up to talk about.
Mm.
There's,
creepy.
Yeah, creepy stories.
Creepy.
They are. And like
disturbing.
And they say, like, look into Snow White's and how disturbing that one gets. That one, to me, if you ask me, which I don't know about, well, you say a favorite one. I'm not sure there's favorite Disney ones. And I'm not sure, but the most disturbing one I think that we ran across here, at least the one that we know of, is, I think it's got to be Snow White.
I think
Snow White, yeah. Hmm. And again, like, selling the dead body, you know, just kind of
I don't know what it is about. I think Hansel and Gretel grabs me just because of the witch and their kids and they
gingerbread house.
She tried to fatten them up to eat them.
Yeah, the whole draw of the candy and the sweets and the, I don't know. Yeah, and then now they got they get captured. It's the I like movies. My wife and I like watching movies where it's all about survival. You know, like say maybe somebody gets kidnapped or a family gets somebody breaks in a house and now they're hostages and they have to figure out how to, you know, survive, take care of each other, make it out. You know, and that's why I think that fairy tale, I like that because it's oh my gosh, now we're in this. They're away from home. They're stuck with this witch, this crazy person that wants to, fatten them up and eat them. And now they got to get out of there. But then they, you know, then they actually make it out and she ends up dying, you know, they kill her. But I just think that, I like that. And then, like I said, some of the movies I've watched, you know, they kind of, they stick with the story, the main story, but, I don't know. I like that one. I think that's one of my, And Rumpelstiltskin, that's a good one, too.
Yeah,
I like Hansel and Gretel as far as my favorite, you know. Not saying it's, like, the most it is disturbing. I mean, obviously, kids, you know, what the witch has intentions for, but I just love that story. I just like it.
Anytime the main villain rips himself in two as a final, see you later, folks.
Yeah.
That's got my vote.
Yeah. That's There you go.
They're good.
So, like Sean said, go read your pick out one of your favorite fairy tales, and then go
and
read
just
the original.
Ruin your day, right?
Yeah,
read the classics.
So, if you had if you named your child or your dog or cat or whatever Rumpelstiltskin, would you nickname it Rump? Come here over here, Rump.
Rump. Yeah, that's I don't know.
Rumple.
Rumple. Rumple.
Not just skin, right?
Right. Ooh, yeah. Right. Well, what else do you got? Anything else that guys that before we
I don't think
wrap
so.
This?
Like I said, this is
up.
This is just to give you a taste of some of the background and where this stuff came from. Some people know some of this stuff. I'm pretty sure nobody knows quite all this and some of these stories that we shared.
There's so many.
So many more to share, but it does. It's just weird.
It is weird.
Go back into I'm not weird. Trying to judge, but it's just kind of weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. It intrigues you. There's plenty of stories to read and see how off the wall they are.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're like, oh well, I knew that about the what the real Snow White is or Cinderella. Mm-hmm. Well, but there's so many others that we've never heard of. Maybe just go check out the other ones that you've never even heard.
Or go watch Into the Woods.
Read them.
Right?
Yeah, right. 1987, right?
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
91. That was fun. Yeah, no, right.
It's 80-ish,
90s. Well, let's just say 89.
I get by with most stuff by just putting ish after it. So
ish,
we can say ish.
Yeah.
Ish is.
Now we'll go with 87.
Ish saves your butt all the time, right?
That was good. That was so to our listeners, that was a different episode, and I liked it. I thought it was cool because, again, it's kind of going back to your childhood.
It's creepy.
Yeah. Talking about these stories that you grew up listening to or reading and listening to, and then you're like, okay, what did they really mean or what did they. How do they really write them first, you know?
Well, and I always remember when I was little, you know, you grabbed the Mother Goose.
Loved it.
Storybook.
Oh,
like,
over and over.
Who is Mother Goose? Is she a real goose?
Yeah. The Brothers Grimm would have.
Where's the dad? Where's the. We got Mother Goose. Where's
Mother Goose would have been served for dinner, I think. She would have been headless.
Maybe we don't want to know what. I liked
I did figure out with it. We talked about that chicken that had its head cut off and ran around for a long time. His name is Mike.
Mike?
And the only reason I remember that is like one day I was driving home and I'm like, the chicken's name is Mike. Is that weird? So Mother Goose would have been like the chicken with his head cut off.
Mike. Yeah. Mike.
how does that come to me? It was like days later, you know, like, it's Mike.
I was going to say, how did we get on this one?
Who knows? The mind of Sean.
The mind of Sean. That's, oh my God. That's Middle Asian creepy.
No. It is. We'll do an episode on that someday. We'll
be like, ooh, man, that's
creek open.
Ooh. Well, I liked it. Good job, guys. Yeah. Okay, I think the listeners will enjoy that and something different.
It's a little taste of something different and weird. Yeah.
So, Sean, Middle Age moment.
So, the Middle Age moment, you guys are going to love this. This is, I'm always throwing you guys, I'm not going to say curveball because then we're going to go into a bunch of baseball stories again, right? Not that that's a bad thing. I'm kidding.
No,
slow pitch.
You never know what I'm going to say, right? All right. You guys are never going to believe this.
Did you see that, Nate? The guy was.
I
couldn't resist. Sorry.
I'll take a nap over here. I am a fan of. I know you're not going to believe this, but the Moody Blues. Does anybody out there know who the Moody Blues is?
Of course
you do. Everybody knows the Moody Blues, right? No, they don't all know the Moody Blues, and they don't know how great the Moody Blues are. I have to be in the mood for the Moody Blues. Ha ha. There's a little funny in there. But they do have some excellent storytelling, and they have some excellent themes. So that's what I thought. We're going to go into kind of that little bit of a, you know, the Brothers Grimm is kind of a strange, you know, theme to it and a mood. So I thought we would finish this mood with some Moody Blues.
Brother Blues.
So I'm doing
Brother Moody.
I'm not going to read Knights in White Satin. It's an excellent song. It's about unrequited love is what they say. I do believe that they just like bought some silk sheets and they were like, let's just write about this. You know, maybe a little drug induced, but no, I'm kidding. This is all speculation.
That's probably true.
So Knights in White Satin.
To be honest.
it's probably totally true. Anyway, so Knights in White Satin is an excellent song. It is Knights in White Satin, never reaching the end, letters I've written, never meaning to send, beauty I've always missed, with these eyes before, just what the truth is, I can't say anymore. And it's the chorus is, because I love you, yes, I love you, oh, how I love you. I'm not singing it, guys. But this does, it's very poetic, it's beautiful. They talk about gazing at people, some hand in hand, just what I'm going through, they can't understand. So it's all that unrequited love. So it goes on and on and on. But my favorite part of it, and ever since I was a kid, because I listened to this with my parents, and but there is a cool little poem at the end. And some versions actually cut this off, and I don't know why, because this is like the best part of it. I almost have this memorized. I could probably do this without even looking at it, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to mess it up. But at the end, there's this little instrumental part, which is really cool. And it says, breathe deep, the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. Bedsetter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent. Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and suckles her son. Senior citizens wish they were young. Cold-hearted orb that rules the night. Removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white. But we decide which is right and which is an illusion. So I thought that was an excellent way to end this because, you know, talking about fairy tales and talking about all these stories. They're so poetic there and such beauty in those words. But there's such a life lesson there. And I think that's what all this talk about fairy tales and some of the weird twisted ways of looking at it. It's just life is somewhat of an illusion, you know, and you do get to decide what's real, what's not real, you mm-hmm. know. And mm-hmm. I swear, I wake up, I tell people all the time, I'm like, oh, I'm waking up in upside down world again. Yep, here we go.
Oh, gosh.
And don't you ever wake up and think, oh, my God, I had the worst dream. Oh, my God, that's my life, you know.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, that's real. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
some days are diamonds, some days are dust. But we're living in some strange times right now. But that's why we're here doing what we're doing. You know, we want to bring some strangeness, some weirdness, some creepiness, but we also want to bring some light and get you thinking and get you introduce some things that we don't even know about.
Oh,
and so anybody that didn't know Moody Blues and that cool little poem at the end, and now you do know.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's
in the mind of Sean, right? I wish I came up with, I wish I'd create stuff like that.
The soundtrack of Sean.
Exactly. It's Moody Blues. Actually, if I had a soundtrack, it was my soul. I always said it was David Gray, White Ladder. So if you don't know who David Gray is, he is my favorite artist.
Really?
My favorite solo artist. Yeah. Mm-hmm, English. He and I have the same birthday. We're 10 years apart. He's 52.
Oh, still a young guy.
June 13th. Yep. So, yeah, he's awesome. I've seen him live a couple times. I like to see him a lot more. I just love him. So his White Ladder album back in the day, the Babylon, you remember?
Oh,
Babylon?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you listen to that album, I totally resonate with that whole album.
I have only heard the popular songs that are come mm-hmm. on the radio, but there's not one I didn't like. I mean, he's very talented.
Is recently he? Released, oh, during COVID, he released a new album. So he's still releasing new music. And still
it's
good.
Just the way he sings. I think it's
he's cool.
Yeah,
he's
it's a cool way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Soulful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, that I didn't mean to mention him, but yeah.
I'm glad you did, actually.
I mentioned the Beatles. I mentioned Harrison Ford all the time, but David Gray is.
David Gray. I didn't know
that. Really, secret
passion.
Got
Harrison Ford in there.
I did.
Nate.
And this is where I disappear. Poof, poof. I have done my magic for the night.
He's good. I mean, he gets him in there.
It's like I'm rolling dice.
He gets Harry Ford in there.
I get that in there just like, and by the way, I know I didn't, hey, it didn't go unnoticed that you pointed out Harrison Ford, one of his great villains.
I've always loved that movie.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Man, when I watched that for the first time, I did not see it coming. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Fantastic movie. I showed that to Harrison. It's been a few months ago, but it's the first time he saw it. And I said, I think you're ready for your first real like horror type movie. Scary movie, and he liked it.
Little drama suspense,
I didn't tell him. I don't think I told him. I don't think he knew that Harrison Ford was a bad guy, and he was.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah, no. That's a great. Yeah, because I posted not the Ronin. Stir of Echoes. Because yeah. I like Kevin Bacon. Yeah. He's a
Bacon's awesome.
He can play a good guy, bad. You know.
Oh yeah.
And then he's Lies versatile, Beneath is right? Great. Yeah. And when his character. I was like, are you serious? I'm like, he's the murderer?
The worst is...
Terrible person?
When he's filling up, Michelle Pfeiffer's in the bathtub, and he's filling it up, and he's just like, you know, basically telling her, you know, okay, well, you're going to die
anytime
soon.
Yeah,
that was me. Okay, you know, and he's just petting the dog.
Oh, I know. It's so...
Oh, it's sick. Mean. It's sick. Yeah. Sorry, these are all spoiler alerts, but it's...
Yeah, they're like, well, okay, we don't have to see that movie.
I never thought I'd want to see Harrison Ford come to his end, but yeah, in that movie, you're like, see you later, bud.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Well, he played a fugitive, too.
He did. That was fantastic.
He was guilty. I know.
He was guilty.
He was not a bad guy.
Tommy Lee should have shot him right there.
Tommy
on the,
Lee knew he was
right
innocent.
There on the waterfall or the cliff.
He's like, I didn't do it. I don't care.
Still should have shot him. No.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just
right.
For making him chase. I'd be like, I'd just shoot him in the ankle or something.
There's so much more movie to go, though.
Yeah. No. Yeah. White Lies Beneath. That's great.
Yep. It is. So thank you for posting it.
I will say, just because you had mentioned that you let, who was it? Harrison?
Hmm? Yeah, just Harrison.
So, I'm trying to think. Last weekend or the weekend before? I think it was 2 weekends ago. We finally gave in because we are those parents. We're like, okay, because
the give in.
No, we all are. We yeah, we let our kids watch what we know they can handle because our kids they like the scary stuff, but there's only so much, right?
Right.
And like I've talked about, I was 9, 10, you know. My mom and dad were very protective and very, but they, you know my mom listens to this and she's probably laughing like, oh, I know. We've talked about it like, oh my gosh, I know. I don't know why we let you watch The Exorcist, and you know, because I was terrified and all these other movies, you know. I was telling my wife the other day, Poltergeist, the original, 83. I was 12, so I was a little older, but I mean, just, or 11, whatever it was. That scared me. You know, I watched with my mom and my older sister and just, it was frozen in terror, right?
Oh, Poltergeist makes me want to get a pool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
And have a clown, but yeah. Yeah. Even when I was, 45, when I got braces, I was afraid it's going to wrap around.
All the feels,
you know?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. But we, you know, our kids, like, they like a quiet place because it's not, you know, it's scary. It's scary and creepy, but it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Elijah has been, and he loves... So we watched them watch It, the original, right?
Oh, the original? Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That was like last year. We gave in. And Amy wasn't crazy about it, but I was like, let's try it. And we can shut it off if it's too much. You know?
Exorcist?
No, we watched. No.
Just I'm kidding.
That would be Sean. Yeah. I would be like,
I'll be in the other room. Thanks.
I'll be out. Yeah, I'm actually going to drive away from the house. So there's no way I can even hear it. No, it was the new It. The
new It.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd it go?
We watched and Olivia watched it, and she's not crazy about, that's why she doesn't listen to our podcast. She's like, I don't like the scary stuff. But yes, she'll tell me in a heartbeat all about serial killers, you know, Richard Mirror. She knows all this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a minute, how do you,
she's stair-stepping.
Yeah. So they both hung in there, and yeah. Now here's the thing. I like to turn the lights. I'm like, hey, and Amy's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, what? And she's like, let's just kind of slowly get into this. Mm-hmm. So he was so happy that I let him watch. Yeah. And I said, so what'd you think? And he goes, well, wasn't that scary? I go, why? He goes, no, it was good. So he liked it. He just didn't think, well, how come you didn't let me watch it? Well, because you're only 6 or 7. Right? I mean, now that you're almost 11, you're getting in that middle school age. That's where, So the original, not the original, but the new It.
You going to let him watch the second one?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because he said, "No, what's the second?" I said, "It's actually not as good to me." This is my opinion. I just thought the kids were great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Second was okay, but
yeah, it's okay.
I said, but yeah, so when we'll piece it all together, and he wants to see it, but he thought the special effects were great.
Yeah,
you know, and he thought, he just didn't think scary. It was. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, over the top. That he was like, I'm fine. He didn't have any nightmares or didn't have to come run upstairs and go, Pennywise is getting me. So. Yeah, and our daughter, she doesn't like that stuff. She watched it and enjoyed it. And my son really liked the kids. Because they were a little bit older in the movie, but yeah, they thought, you know, it's the riding the bikes, it's the group, the friends, the friendship, and he liked that. He thought that was
yeah. So working together to get through the
and he scenario. And Olivia laughed a lot because of I can't remember the character's name. What's the one that's real sarcastic and he's always with the, with the glasses, you know.
He plays in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
He?
Yeah. Oh, they just thought he was great. You know, he's always he's always making jokes, he's always making fun of they love that. Yeah. And they also the other scene they liked was when they were having the rock fight. And they were sticking up for themselves and pelting the bag, you know, the bullies with the rocks, and so it was kind of
Our kids are.
But it went well overall. It went well.
Our kids tease each other, about, especially the boys. They tease the others about. And Harrison started it, but with Pennywise. Pennywise is always the like the boogeyman, you know, like oh, there's Pennywise. We went to the state fair. And they were getting Ella was so upset with him, like stop talking about it. I don't want to talk about Pennywise, you know. And I'm like, Pennywise is just made up. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it, you know.
Or is he?
Speaking of Boogeyman, don't have you guys listen seen that
to
movie?
Him, Ella? Yeah, no, Ella, you're right. He's made up. What?
Have you seen the Boogeyman movie? That came back. I was so disappointed.
The guy was in Seventh Heaven. I remember Barry Watson.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was so disappointed. I was too. Of it. I was like, really? This is how it's going to end?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. he was scared of the
little cause he was, action figure more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what?
It's like anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun. Well, Sean, what else we got to talk about?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Oh no, I don't. I have announcements over here. We can always get a hold of us. We get a hold of ourselves. Hell, I don't know. We can get you get a hold of.
Here's Sean's phone number. Get a hold of him.
Stop being unclean in these podcasts. Okay, so I thought I got all the I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to me. Sean, stop it. No, you can get a hold of us with our email address, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. I may beat you to that, Todd. You can always buy merch, our logo on anything you can dream of. You can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us your orders. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We have groups. Please join. We love to have you part of the action, part of the fun.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Lots of fun. It really is. Different ways to find us on podcasts. Listen to us on any podcast you want. Not going to name them all for you because there are so many out there. So come listen. Enjoy that fun too. And we want to bring it back to thanking you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough for being here, allowing us to be in your ears. I know that always sounds weird, but it's true. And we can't thank you enough. And part of what we're building here is a community of fun. We want to have a good time, share some creepy and unusual stuff with you. It's definitely what we did in this one, right? But we also want to build a community of mental health and the promotion of mental health, making sure you guys are getting help out there. We've got good days, we've got bad days, we've got really, really rough days, and we're all wanting to be here to help each other through it. So one of the things we can do is share the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. That's 1-800-662-4357, the last form that's HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255. And the last form, that's TALK.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Good job.
No problem, as always.
Brother. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We forgot the brothers.
Well, you know, other than brothers Grimm. Maybe we can count that.
See, that's what count.
There you go, we'll Harrison. We got brother.
Harrison.
Ha-ha. Didn't think we were going to do it, did you?
I'm going to have to say this. I've been wanting to say this. This is H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N spells Harrison. My uncle, that's how he taught Harrison. We tried to teach Harrison how to spell his name. My Uncle Bobby, God bless his soul, used to always sing that to Harrison. It's H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N spells Harrison. So there you go, Harrison. You're welcome.
Now you know how to spell your name.
Yeah.
Somebody help. Now help me spell my name. Shahone.
Well, real quick, a lot of times I'll type in like voice Sean, like if I'm doing a voice message or whatever.
Does it say scene?
It goes right to S-E-A-N almost every time. I'm like, dang on it. or my wife's.
Say the coolest version of Sean, S-H-A-W-N. Just coolest version. Set that in your phone.
Oh, right? All those Sean's out there with S-E-A-N.
I know, they're going, son of a, Sean Connery's rolling over in his grave right now. I like Sean, S-E-A-N,
well,
it's fun.
What's funny is my wife, if I say... My wife's because her real name's Amanda. She goes by Amy, A-M-Y. Mm-hmm. It'll say A-M-I-E. And I have a friend, longtime friend, that she is on the Facebook group. She spells her name A-M-I-E. But it says that when I voice message my wife. So I'm like, what? Yeah. So I'm just waiting for it to voice message. Like if I say my own name, it'll just... One D. I've got two D's on my
Toad.
Yeah. Or I'll say Toad. That's what my dentist used to call me.
Call you Toad.
Yeah. He even did I was in my, I mean, we switched like 5 or 6 years ago, but he'd say, hey, Toad. I'm like, hey, Dr. Hudson. I'm 42.
You don't have to call me that anymore.
But I still wanted my toy afterwards. That's
funny. In the drawer. When I go dig in the magic box?
Can I get my candy? Yeah.
That's what it was.
The treasure box.
All right.
Well, brothers, I hate to be grim.
Oh,
this is a wrap.
I'm loving this.
I'm
loving it.
That was kind of a, like, it's over. But that was clever, though. I like that.
Let's do another one.
Man, Nate's on a roll with these.
I know. He's doing fantastic.
These rap things.
He's like, I'm not just a sound engineer and producer.
No.
I am a creative mind here.
I think that's what I look forward to the most, is see what he comes up.
See what he's coming
with. I'm like,
he's keeping it clean. I'm the one not keeping it clean. He's keeping
it clean. Keep it clean. Keep it creepy. Well, guys, thank you again for listening to episode 26. So we are moving up the ladder on our episode numbers. Yeah. And then, of course, we have mini number, what is it, Sean, coming up Saturday?
Eight.
Number blah, blah, blah.
Eight.
No, that's weird.
I was thinking, wait, Lewis Clark, Titanic 7. Okay, yeah, eight.
It's just every time I say these, I'm like,
you want to say what it is?
26 pulls.
Well, no. It'll be out by the time this comes out. So,
yeah.
It's Tulpas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Tulpas.
Tulpas.
That's right. Not toupees, tulpas. I'm like, what's creepy? I guess, toupees could be creepy. Some. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. As always, we appreciate your ears. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.